That song makes it difficult not just to jump right into the invitation song and roll on. But we'll be in Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we'll spend most of our time in God's Word this morning. It is, as I always hopefully say and remind, it is a blessing to be here with all of you. You encourage us so much. And I don't know that I can overstate that. What you all mean to us as a family, mean to me, and I think of you often when the going gets tough, and as I do so many other Christians that have been a part of my life that have been through a lot tougher things than me, and I think there's an example there. And it's not lost on me when I get up here and share from God's Word that the people who were the first hearers of a lot of this, we're suffering. We're going through persecution, and I, in what I would consider, especially in comparison to them, in my comfort, I now stand before you and try to unpack that in a way that hopefully God uses that to bring about a change in you as He has in me. And there is an aspect of selfishness when I get up here, because I know that it has changed me. Sometimes it's things I've taught all week. This is one of those instances, so I apologize, Cole, if you've heard some of this before already, but most of us that have been following the Lord for a while, we've heard several lessons from different areas and different folks, and they all have, to me, have come to have a different take, or maybe there's something I'm supposed to know about a little bit more the second, third, and a thousandth time. So hopefully that will be the case today, and I just know that God has a plan for all of your lives, that there is a journey that you're all on. And the liar, Satan, tries to divide us and keep us away from one another, because there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of power. And our society certainly believes in the individual, and to a large degree, I believe. And I think the Bible teaches of individual liberty. But we are encouraged to be with one another as much as possible. And there's a reason for that. And the older I get, the more I understand that. And it almost becomes a selfish thing. Like, this is what I need. I want to be closer to the Lord. And God has told us that this is one of the ways in which we can be drawn closer to Him, that we stir one another up to good works. The last time I was here, we talked about Deuteronomy. And as I continue to study Deuteronomy, I am continually reminded and so thankful for the personal liberties that we have, that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes along and fulfills Jeremiah, which we'll talk a little bit about here in a moment, that the Word of God, the law, the Spirit, as talked about in Galatians, we did in Bible class this morning, has been stamped on us, that it will be on our hearts, and that we'll have this, we already had a desire, but there's a way to have that fulfilled, that there's this idea that we can have as much of Jesus as we want and we have a desire for. And I think now Satan has kind of flipped that and kind of uses this comfort that we have. And I'm not saying that salvation, comfort and salvation is something that's bad or wrong. Obviously, we all walk in that. If you don't, we would love to assist you in having that this today. But I think a lot of times it being available all the time, I know in my life, and maybe that's who I'm telling on, that makes me take it for granted, and I don't use it the way that I should. And I don't desire more, that I feel like, oh, I've got enough to get me through. And there should be a desire as we mature to want more of Jesus, more of God, more of the Holy Spirit, and to have that invitation there. Although we understand God is everywhere and no one tells Him where He can or can't go, but there is a difference of a desire for Him to be in more and more control. And I think what a great song service we've had this morning that reminds us of that, that brings that to our forefront. So I appreciate those who prepare those songs so well. And I have been in congregations where every bit of the service is on a sheet of paper, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but there's also a nice aspect of when it all comes together, and there was no, hey, let's do this and that, and that's pretty neat as well. And so this morning, as we kind of prepare and march towards Hebrews chapter 10, I did want to kind of give an overview of the chapters leading up to that. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about Jesus being the radiance of God, Him being the presence of God. He is the essence of God, and that's not even strong enough, really, to get the point of what the Hebrew writer is saying. He's like, this is the living, breathing, walking embodiment of God among His people as He always wanted, right? We have the tabernacle, we have the temple, we have all these things that were representative of God. I oftentimes think prior to Jesus, the tabernacle was probably as the most mobile, and there was a point to that. Like, as you go, we're going to tear this thing down and we'll rebuild it over here, and we'll rebuild it over here rather than a stationary place. And we have bought into that in our society, right? There are reasons why people are intimidated by church buildings. Why? Well, I mean, they're just brick. They're just made out of the same things your house might be made of. But we as humans always have this tendency to create this dichotomy that there's this place where God is relevant and a place where He's not, and we actually are comfortable in that. Because God, in some ways, in His presence, there's an uncomfortableness. There's a tension there. Talked about in class this morning, Galatians, right? He lists the fruit of the Spirit, and then He goes, but these are the evidence of the flesh. When these things crop up and are uncontrolled in your life, this is not of God. And when God shows up in those moments, it's uncomfortable, and that's on purpose to some degree. I think of Abraham when he says, God, how do I know that you're going to keep your commitment to me? And God does this whole like vision and cutting these animals up and walking through. And there's really nothing about the covenant in that. At no point, well, because I said so. No, it's just this, you need to understand, Abraham, who you are talking to. And you need to have a little more understanding that when I'm not like you, when you say something, there is a possibility of it not happening. When I say something, that is how it will be. And so there's this tension, and the Hebrew writer's like, when Jesus says it, God said it. When Jesus says this is the plan, this is the plan. We see that, right, with Peter. And we even look at Peter's good intentions. Like, Lord, I'll die with you. Or may it never be that you would go and suffer and die. And he goes, well, you're seeing things the way man sees them and not the perspective of God. And he goes into angels. And we may like scratch our head and go, why are we jumping off into angels? Well, as we study in Deuteronomy at the end, 33 and verse 2, there's these flashing of light and this thing that happens. And they kind of thought, well, that sounds like an angel. And angels were very interesting. You might think of, I don't want to say fad, because I mean, they probably were more interesting longer than a fad. It was kind of one of those things that would have grabbed their attention. Angels, okay. And for some of us, that might still work today. And Jesus is better than the angels. Hebrews 3 through 4, he talks about Moses and how God, Jesus, is better than Moses. And if when you rebelled against Moses, this was the punishment, think of just how much higher the stakes are when you rebel against Jesus. The Romans, in Romans, Paul puts it, you know, who can stand against you if Jesus doesn't? But if you stand against Jesus, there is no wrath, like the wrath of God. I think in my mind, when I think of that, I think of Mama Bear, right? Like, you know, as a coach, there's a difference when Dad is mad at you and when Mama is not happy with you. There's a very strong difference. And let me tell you, I would much rather be Dad be upset with me than Mama Bear, right? And there's an aspect to that. My son did this for you. He suffered this for you, and you rebel against him. If the stakes were high for those with Moses, how much more will the stakes be high for those who reject Jesus? Hebrews 5 through 7, we begin to look at the priests and how Jesus is better. And he's in the order of Melchizedek, and we kind of scratch our brain and go, what? And it's kind of wild. You look at Psalm 110 where it talks about Melchizedek, and the aspect is you know, this priest king that we serve in Jesus pre-exists us, and he will exist after everything that we see here may be long gone. He is eternal. He's sovereign. And Jesus is the best and only hope, as in John 14, to go to the Father. And that leads us into where we are. Jesus is the better sacrifice, Hebrews 8 through 10, and we will be in chapter 10, beginning in verse 18, we'll look there. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Jesus sacrificed once and for all. You back up there and we'll look at verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? And there's a lot of things. The Hebrew writer tells us here, it bears witness to us. It bears witness to us that the things that Jeremiah prophesies here in verses 16 and 17 have been fulfilled in Jesus and therefore is continuing to be fulfilled in us. Not because of our ability, but because of what Jesus has done. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Now, it's important that those two things bookend each other, right? Because if we were just given the law on our mind and our hearts, what would we always be reminded of? Of how less than we are. And there's a healthy aspect to that as well. And there's an aspect of that. That I am unworthy. Jesus is better than me. Right? To me, as I read Hebrews for however the many time, as I've read it through this semester, it's like, that's what if Jesus is better than Moses, guess who Jesus is better than? Me. Me. I got no business in Moses' shoes. What is one of Jesus' strongest rebukes to the Pharisees? You have put yourself in the seat of Moses and you got no business in that. That is not in your place. You have taken the place of Moses. And you've set yourself up as a gateway to God. And well, you gotta appease the Pharisees before you can get to God. And old man, read the prophets, and you'll get a stern understanding that God does not like that. It is not our job to create extra hoops for people to jump through. And I think to some degree we have done that. You've got to come to God on my terms. If you ever get that feeling from Travis Creasy, you got to let me know, because I don't want to be in that spot. Because I'm like you. Right? I'm that beggar. And the light's been turned on. And I don't have any extra hoops. And I don't want any extra hoops. Because if you got to jump through them, I got to jump through them. I want to be where God wants me to be. It's Jesus' sacrifice that opens the way. Out of anything I say here, the reason we can be bold, the reason we can draw near to God is because of Jesus. So I don't want you to miss that, because sometimes I think this text is preached in a way that it's about our momentum and our motor and our gas and our engine, and that's just not true. Jesus sets this up for us so that we now have the freedom to be bold and enter into His presence. So let's look at verses 19 through 25. In my Bible, in the ESV, there's a headline there that is not inspired by the Word of God, but it helps, right? The full assurance of faith. Are you cashing in, I don't know if that's the right word, on all the rights and privileges that have been afforded us through Jesus, the main folk through Jesus, right? I don't want you walking out of here and go, man, I'm so awesome, I'm so great. Look at what I've done and what I've accomplished. Now, what I'm saying is what Jesus has willingly given you, are you using those things to their full advantage? Because when we do that, we are praising Jesus. When he says, here, this is yours. I have given it to you. It's a gift. I want you to use it to draw near to the Father. When we draw near to the Father, who are we praising? Who are we giving the glory? Thank you, Jesus, for this. You have made me worthy. You have brought me into the presence of God. Even though that's an uncomfortable place. Because I struggle with the language here. I really do. I struggle with it. If you understand all the bells and whistles and the clothing and the cleansings, and if you get any taste of that, you realize that there was a lot of detail-oriented people, but also more scary, undetailed people. Think about if you had a high priest who couldn't even, tie his shoes in the morning without messing up, like me. I can't imagine the the anxiety that I would have if not only is my sins but to be rolled back by something I had to do perfectly, and I'm not a detailed person, but then throw in the fact that everybody else, right? I don't want that. And yet there are people that have set themselves up to be that. Think about if you had just had a really goofy, uncoordinated, undetailed high priest. That would be terrifying. And I'm sure there were. And then this Jesus comes along who does it all perfectly so that there you can be as goofy as you want. You know, if you're like me, you mess up every day. But it's about Jesus and his perfection. Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have a confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Where's our confidence? The blood of Jesus. And when we lack confidence going to the throne of God, there's a lack of confidence in who? What Jesus has done. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's much like when Adam goes, it was that woman, right? That's what we focus on sometimes. But it's the next phrase, right? It's that woman you gave me. You gave me a defunct helpmate. And all the ladies in the room, I'd be like, yeah, he did. You know, I mess up too. But it's the blame game, right? Well, I can't go before the throne of God because what? Where's your confidence? Well, my preacher's just not good at his job. My shepherd doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. Well, which shepherd? Because there's one shepherd that's the greatest shepherd of all time. And it's a confidence in his blood, the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, all faithful and obedient followers of the Lamb may enter the Holy of Holies. And you don't have to put on a suit and tie or robes and bells and all the bells and whistles, as we might say. The veil curtain of the temple metaphorically referred to the body of Jesus. Mark 15:38. As the body of Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn and the way to the Father was opened. John 14. No one comes to the Father but through me. And meekness is great and humility is great and asking permission is wonderful. And I highly encourage you to do that. But there is a level of confidence and boldness. We're also told that when we don't know what to say, sometimes, Phil, right, we were talking last night, it's, Jesus, help me. That's all we got. And the beautiful thing is it has nothing to do with our eloquence. Thank God for that. Because eloquence, as you all know patiently and graciously, is not something I got a whole lot of. Eloquence. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to be respectful when we pray to the Lord. We should. But there is a level where we all reach where I just got to get into His presence. I need to go to His throne. And it may sound, I've heard people who are grieving make a sound that I can't replicate. And even later, they say, I couldn't make that sound again if I wanted to. It just flowed out of me. And we have a God who understands that better than anyone else. And He doesn't look at us and go, I can't believe you said that in my presence. No, through the Hebrew writer, He says, boldly come with whatever you got. Because in the coming, there is a honor. There's a, I don't know, but I know you do. And I need you. Is a new living in the sense. Let us, as he says in verse 22, what is it? Let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near in prayer. I think sometimes we think of hope as an anchor, and that's a very biblical, there's a Hebrew biblical response to that. But I think oftentimes I think of this ship, as we're talking about in our Lord's Supper devotional, the ship and the anchors dropped in the water. And really what I've come to kind of view this, in my opinion, is it's an anchor that we throw onto the shore. And then we don't even throw it on the shore. We just choose to have that hope. And God reels us in. You know? Now, hopefully you'll forgive me for this, but I think of Batman's grappling hook. And then he hooks it to his belt and it brings him to where he needs to be. And that's our God, right? I just need you to choose. That's really all this is our choice, to choose Him and put our hope in Him. And then He draws us near to the shore that without Him we would crash. That's really what it is. Because without Him, we don't have the grace and mercy of God, of salvation. And it's the wrath of God that our boat, our personal boat that we think we've built, will be destroyed. It's the boat He creates. It's the anchor that He made that then He draws us into. Draw near. We have that aspect to do that. Draw near. 10:23. What's the next step? 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Let's hold fast. Here's all these anchor, this confidence, this foundation that we have. It is this idea of holding fast. How do we do that? Yes, from time to time we confess. When we see sin in our life, we confess it right then and there. And sometimes we confess it publicly so that others will know it's sin. And then guess what they do? They confess publicly or before God. And so there's this hold fast to our confession. But most of the time it's just getting up every day and trusting in Jesus. Well, Travis, I can't present an eloquent sermon. I'm like, well, let me know when I do my first one, okay? But more often than that is how you live that Monday that just seems like the fiery darts are everywhere you turn. And you turn, you respond, and turn to God to hold fast. And then verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider one another. How do we consider one another without a one another? All right. And this passage has been preached, from probably preaching this morning, about church attendance. And that's fine. That's wonderful. I think it works. But the aspect here is, look at all of the benefits that we all get when we come together and go, I want to stir others up. Because when I stir others up, there's this reciprocity. I just butchered that. Sorry, Laura. But that's what it is, right? It's this. We're rubbing off on each other. And we see each other holding fast, drawing near, and we go, you know, I'd like to do that too. And there are people who've done it, and that's why the church gets a bad rap. There's some people like, well, if you want to draw near like I draw near, then, well, there's this process that you've got to do, and you've got to go through this. But really, the body of Christ goes, that guy's drawing near. I'd like to draw near. Well, let's go. Let's do this. We can do it with confidence that maybe my way doesn't look the same as yours. And maybe that's the beautiful thing about it. Well, this worked for me. Well, this worked for me. And then everybody gets to, it's a smorgasbord. Well, I'll try that. And the Spirit comes and He meets us in those places. What are the conditions? I really believe the conditions that God puts in place are really, when you think about it, a very low bar. Like, anytime it's tempting as humans to raise the bar higher than God raised it. It's like, why would we want to do that? You Pharisees, you bind heavy burdens that you yourselves can't bear, right? And we, for some reason, we have a desire to do that. And the Hebrew writer comes along and goes, here are the conditions. A, verse 22, a true heart. You might read that as a genuine heart. Not a right in every way heart. A genuine heart. I've used this example. I continue to do it. I think of Toby Keith, right? His daughter was made fun of at school. My dad said, your dad's just white trash with money. And instead of Toby getting mad and going to the PTO and everything else, he wrote an album called White Trash with Money. And he made probably a gazillion dollars off of it. Right? There are those people that go, I don't really agree with the way they live, but they are who they say they are. And there's a level of respect to that. Now, obviously, there are guidelines to that. But we all, if we're honest, and I think that's what God wants, is honesty, is that genuine, true heart. We've all got it. Now, it may take a little dusting off and a little removing the facade to get there. But we all got one of those somewhere. And then a heart cleansed from an evil conscience. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not playing on God's decision of good and evil here, right? right? In comparison to God, we are all evil. There is one good. What I'm saying is if we compare ourselves, most of us, generally speaking, we have those crazy thoughts that run through our head every once in a while. Like, where did that come from? Well, that's the flesh. And that's not a good thought, and therefore it is an evil thought, right? So we have those things. But generally speaking, we're kind of playing in between, you know, Joseph Stalin and St. Mary or whoever, you know, fill in the blank. Most of us are in between those. And so I would say if we went around the room and go, do you want to be evil? We might say, well, I have this thought and I've done evil things. I've done bad things. But generally speaking, no. Low bar. Right? And then who cleanses, right? How do we talk? When you talk about baptism, well, he does. A body washed with pure water. Right? I lived life, a long part of my life, without bottled water. Purified bottled water. It's called a water hose, right? And I survived. And I remember when bottled water, I remember when my friends, you know, if you bought bottled water in high school, when I was in high school, you got made fun of. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, there's a fountain right outside the door. You should just go use that. Right now, it's everywhere. Like, I drank some this morning. But at first, it was like, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about Dasani. Once again, the confidence is in what? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses that. And so the baptismal waters, the cleansing of Jesus. He encourages us to have hope. Three ways this morning, and I want to encourage you as we wrap up our time together. We've already mentioned by considering one another. Now, this is unconventional, and I've not received permission. So I apologize to Rick and Phil if this causes you problems, but this is not their problem. This is my decision, so please take with that your, you know, where you should bring the criticism. But if you're in here this morning and you would love the opportunity to pray with somebody who might need it, would you raise your hand and just let, if you're not, it's no big deal. We're just clarifying. I mean, I would gladly pray with whoever would like to pray. I'm it. I'm on my own. Okay. All right, Phil. All right. Okay. So look around. If you need individual prayer with somebody and there's something going on that you don't feel comfortable with saying on the microphone out loud, these people, go ahead and keep raising your hands. I know it's uncomfortable. These folks would love to pray with you and do that. And thank you for that. I know that was not pre-planned. I didn't check with you. But they'll be in here, and I would encourage you to bring that to them. And it's not that they're special or have any special power. They're just saying, I would love to walk alongside you with that and see what God would have for you to do. If you're not in Christ, you've not been baptized into that blood that we're to have confidence in, we would love to do that today too. We can do our part in making that happen, which is very small. But we want to give you that opportunity today. And then, of course, as I mentioned, in just a moment, if you feel comfortable, we're going to pass the microphone and give you the opportunity to share with the group. If that's something you're comfortable with, your celebrations, your failures, the things you need help with. I just wanted to give you that opportunity to know that it's not through us, right? Every church around us has an efficient way that they've come together and agreed upon that this is the most efficient way to serve those. But we all know our struggles don't work on an efficient schedule timeline, right? It's at the worst possible time. And so I appreciate those who are willing to raise their hand. There's nothing less about anybody else. You may have something going on that you got to get out of here to. We understand that as well. But I just wanted everybody to see there are people here who care. And the ones who didn't raise their hand do still care. And they're going to sing a song in just a minute and then join together, encouraging you to do whatever you feel the Spirit is leading you to do today. Because we want to promote that. And as we've read, we want to stir others up to good works. So if you want to give us the privilege and honor to go before the throne of God for you, we would love to do that boldly alongside you in whatever capacity or whatever you need this morning. And we're going to start that process by singing the song of invitation. That's what we do to help you and let you know that every voice that's singing this song has struggled, has sinned, has fallen short of the glory of God. And now because of what Jesus has done, we can go boldly before his throne. whether we sound good doing it or not. So if there's something we can assist you and serve you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we encourage you to make that known now as we stand and sing.